Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. But today is a very special day, and as always, we like to start off on the right foundation. So we're going to turn this over to our historian, Ms. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. Well, as we all know, today is the anniversary of D-Day. Project Overlord, the largest invasion of military force in the history of the world, was this day, and it was led by American General Dwight Eisenhower. He was the supreme commander of the Allied forces, the United States forces, and our allies. And they landed on the beaches of Normandy, on Omaha Beach, Utah Beach, and others. And it was a surprise to the Nazis. The weather had been so bad that some of the Nazis had actually gone home to be with their wives and families, and they were not on alert because the weather had been so bad. But our weather predictors, the Allied meteorologists, had told General Eisenhower about a small break that was to occur in the weather. And that's the decision that Dwight Eisenhower made, was to take that opportunity and invade and begin this invasion. And so that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the end for the Nazis. And so we observed this day. There was a loss, great loss of life. And we observed this day, D-Day, in our history. And we are so grateful to all those who stood for what was right, who stood against the evil forces that were threatening to take over the entire world and to bring Western civilization to an end. So we are so grateful for those who served. Personally, my father-in-law, Luther Howard Moore, landed on the beaches on Omaha Beach, and he survived and lived a long life. He didn't talk about it very much because it was so horrendous, so painful, what he endured and what he saw others endure. So, but we observe this day, D-Day, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Father, for the opportunity that we have, Lord, the freedom that we have because of those who've gone before us and who have stood against all the evil and have stood for what is right, and so many paid the ultimate price with their lives. But, Father, so many paid in other ways, Lord, through their wounds, Father, mental and physical and emotional. We pray, Father, that you would honor and protect and be with their loved ones, Father, those survivors. And we thank you, Father, for the gift of freedom. Father, help us to treasure it and protect it and keep it, Father, for our posterity, those who come after us for many generations. And, Father, raise up, continue to raise up. We thank you, Father, for those you have already quickened your life within and that purpose to stand against every evil that assails our children, against this common core initiative and standards and all that goes with it. And we pray for increasing numbers, Father, to enter the field, to do battle on behalf of our children and protecting our children from evil. We pray, Father, that you would change the hearts of our leaders, the school board members, and the legislators, that you would bring what stories and information and material to them, Father, that will open their eyes and change their hearts so that they too would be in the battle for righteousness' sake, for the sake of our children, O God. And we pray this all in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. I tell you, we just, God is so good to give us, you and Pastor Wayne, to give us, you know, these remembrances of God's hand upon his story in here, these United States of America. And it's a gift to us, Ms. Barbara, and we want it extended to the children. And it breaks my heart that they're not hearing these things. And I heard a little bit of what you and Pastor Wayne talked about. I did not know that Patton had such a love for the Lord that he even taught Bible study. And that was just, Ms. Barbara, would you mind telling, just sharing a little bit about Patton and how he even had all that prayer distributed to his soldiers?
Well, General Patton was a great warrior. He was a warrior. Every inch of him was a warrior. And he believed that God had raised him up to be a warrior. He was a man of action. And when he found a situation with the Battle of the Bulge in preparation for that, again, it was the weather. And because we needed air coverage in our battles, that was a big part of our success, our air coverage. But prior to the Battle of the Bulge, there was such snow and ice and clouds, and we couldn't use air cover in that battle, which we had to have. So Patton, General Patton, being a man of action and initiative, he saw that he could not change the weather, but he knew the one who could. And so he asked the priest there, he said, Padre, we can't do anything about this weather, but God can. I want you to write a prayer, and I'm going to have it distributed to all the troops. And the Padre was cooperative then and wrote the prayer, beautiful prayer, for a change in the weather and that the forces of good would conquer the forces of evil. And so he had something like, well, it was over 200 and 50,000, it was mimeographed and given to each one of our troops to pray, and they did pray. They did pray. Can you imagine the unity of that many? So God answered that prayer, and there was the weather cleared for air coverage, and we were able to decimate the Nazi forces. So praise God! Praise God!
Ms. Bolberg, what a fitting story. And we've got with us Ms. Christina Monicus from California and Don Wildman, our two dearest friends from California. And Don and Christina, I just think that is such a timely remembrance of God's hand because, I almost feel like we're here at the end. Ms. Christina, we had been talking about that. We almost feel like we're here at the end. And when you see the world before you, those soldiers, in that war, knew that many of those men, their friends, were not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that they need to be praying to Almighty God. I think we almost know that in regard to what we're seeing with the children. We know that, not all these children are going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a need of God so desperate, like those men, that it gets us down on our knees and it gets us to really ask, heaven to open up.
Oh, absolutely. That's where it's all at right now, Diana, is in prayer. We can look at our founders, we can look at these great men of history, and where did they always turn? Where did the great men of history turn? To God. Because we had the foundation, but now we've lost that. And we, the prayer warriors, have to start bringing that back and protecting, praying over our children.
And Don, you as a national coordinator, Don, you've been working with all these Tea Party groups on all different kinds of subjects. And I know one of the things that I've heard you say lately is like you're really seeing the hand of God in this movement to defend the children.
Absolutely. I've never seen in 7 years of doing various political things leading up to the Tea Party, I've never seen coalitions build as quickly as ours is. And that's because people are coming literally from every state and knocking on the door and saying, can we come in? And, of course, with welcoming arms, we ask everybody and anybody who wants to be involved to come on board. And it's just happening so fast. Generally, these things, tend to be a little like pulling teeth. And I had put a program together for a national organization where I went out to every state and looked for leadership and tried to pull them in. And it was no easy task, I must say. It was a very, very difficult, time-consuming task, which was very rewarding at the end of it because we were, the program became successful. But this is just the opposite. I mean, I no sooner get shot out of a cannon first thing in the morning and they're all are all kinds of emails and phone calls from people. And it's all, I think, because inevitably we're trying to do here is to protect our children, protect their future. That's our stake. We hear a lot of talk about the stakeholders. Well, our stake in this is that these children represent the future of this country and the future of this world. And, if we are not preparing them correctly, then, it's over. I mean, that we don't have the same kind of future. We don't have our future is not filled with liberty and freedom. Our future is a very frightening place if we don't do this.
Well, and too, Dawn, we got to see Becky Gerritsen, and I cried with Becky because I heard a mother's heart breaking. I really think her heart, because we know she's been a staunch fighter against Common Core. And I think that, it's almost like you're about ready to faint because this really has your heart. Everything, she's putting everything into fighting Common Core. And for people that don't know her, that's really, that's what she's been doing for quite a long time. Yeah, it's all about, a lot of other things are into it too, but I think that mother's heart is what I heard breaking.
Well, you know, the
Diana? Oh, go ahead. I just had a thought about Becky, and you are right. Oh, my goodness. What a moving, stirring testimony she gave before the world, because literally, if people weren't watching on C-SPAN, that hearing investigation of the IRS, it's gone viral. Her testimony has gone viral, as it should have. Now, I'm thinking, since she is a strong opponent of Common Core as well, and she didn't address that in her testimony, there was no reason to. But, you know, since her face is known, since her words are known, and this has just gone everywhere, I surely would like it if she would do another testimony, if you will, against Common Core with her face and, you know, it videoed. And let's get that on the Internet. Let's get that out to all our groups. Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, Don, we'll pass it on to you. We will pass that on to Don. But also, Ms. Barbara, I think, you know, Don, you had talked about, and Ms. Christina, you all knew the other lady that was in there from California. Tell us a little bit about her, because I didn't actually see her speak. I was not really watching the news that day. I just saw, you know, what was posted on Facebook, and it was just very moving. But I think I saw your little posting, Dawn, and again, too, your heart was moved by her.
Yeah, Karen Kenny is a therapist. She's a doctor of psychology. She is this one. She reminds me of what my nan must have been like when she was younger, because she's this, you know, short little Scottish lady, Karen is, and she takes her dog everywhere, and she is just very soft-spoken, very elegantly spoken. She doesn't just believe in the foundation of this country. She lives it, breathes it, eats it. She can quote things, it's like, you know, Wayne and Barbara, you know, for how they can quote things that the founders have said. But more importantly, she has never given up. And she started her Tea Party in an area of Los Angeles that didn't have a lot of interest necessarily in, you know, gathering together and sort of trying to fight the tyranny. But she never gave up. She's always really stuck to her principles, their ideas. And the things, I wanted to send the email because Karen really is an example of Tea Party organizers everywhere. I mean, she is the quintessential, you know, the thing that the IRS has hurt are these small mom and pop groups, not the big organizations. They weren't hurt by any of this. This doesn't run afoul to them. You know, that's not the thing. It's these smaller groups. And, you know, she has always been, it's always been really important to her to be really beyond trying to fight against tyranny in the state and locally and nationally. She also really thinks that, well, if I've got these people motivated to engage, we also need to be giving back to our community. And so her group does, like, a ton of good works. I mean, for every rally they seem to do, they do things that are, you know, equally as positive for their community. They support, you know, various charities, a food bank and that kind of stuff. And nobody hears about this. I mean, we've had people say, leaders in the past say, oh, well, I'm going to blog because I want people to know the story of the Karens of the world or the Christinas of the world. And frankly, they don't. All they care about is their own self-aggrandizement. But I wanted people to know who this woman is because she completely exemplifies the average, I think, Tea Party person. And she called me before she went to testify and, you know, sort of asked me what I thought of it. And I said, you know, I can't think of anybody who's a better representative of us. You know, the average Joe and Jane out here doing this work. And I knew she would be speak very elegantly, and it would be very important what she said, because she takes her time very seriously. She knew how much time she had. But, you know, this is at a cost to her, too. So, you know, you don't hear, as all these large groups are trying to fundraise on everything, including now Karen's testimony, what you don't hear about is that Tea Party groups, in large part, are self-sustaining and self-funded. I fund the one that we have here in San Diego. Christina funds hers in Palm Springs. We don't have Koch Brothers money. We don't have AFP, TPP, ad acronym here. They're not giving us money. We are doing this ourselves. And so not only is Karen self-funded, but she actually has lost business in order to take time out to go clear across the country to testify, because she is a therapist. So when she's doing something else, I mean, she's losing money. She's not seeing a patient, or she's not, you know, going to a conference or whatever it is. And so I did it because I really felt strongly that people needed to know who this woman was, and that it was so important to Karen, not because she thought her story was far more compelling than anybody else's, but it exemplified the tyranny that she felt, and it exemplified what all of these, you know, Tea Party groups go through.
Wow. I saw her testimony, and she was beautiful. She was marvelous. I saw every minute of every testimony there. I think it's something like 3.5 hours, and I DVR'd it and watched every minute. And she was so inspiring. And I tell you what, those challengers, those Democrat challengers, they met their match and more when they challenged her. She was something. I was just so taken with her. Well, all of them, but
you know,
she was beautiful.
When she got the letters from the IRS, she called me. And Karen and I, over the years, have become very good friends. And I consider her, you know, just... Well, I consider her a great friend, and we all know what that means. I mean, most of us don't have time to make friends, let alone, you know, have a ton of them. It's important to us to have good ones. And she gets it, and she is very, no problem telling you how she feels about stuff, but always very soft-spoken. She's never, you know, belligerent or anything like I tend to be. But she called me when the IRS had sent her the letter. You know, what do I do? And I was so flabbergasted, you know, that this was happening. And it was really one of those moments where you go, I don't even know what we can do. I mean, it's the IRS, for God's sake. You know, there's two things you can't battle, right? Taxes and death. So, you know, so I've watched this journey that she's gone through. And when Jay Sekulow stood, you know, took up the fight for these folks like Karen, it was such, you know, an important thing, because it really gave voice. And they weren't looking for recognition. They weren't looking for media. They weren't looking to be on TV. None of that. They weren't looking to fundraise because of what they've gone through. What they wanted in hiring a lawyer was a voice inside the government to say, you cannot do this. We know it's against the law what you're doing, and now we have to make sure we're protecting our rights, our civil rights. And none of that's been easy. I mean, you know, this is her second trip to D.C., and I had a short call from her last night, and she literally flew home and then went to work. You know, 4 hours of jet lag and press conferences and testimony, fly back here to California and then go to work. That's who Karen Kenny is, and that's who, you know, all of these folks are, all these folks that testified. It was so important.
Well, it's a wonderful what God is doing. He is really using these things that was set out to hurt the Tea Parties and tamp down really the spirit of freedom of many Americans. And Ms. Christina, you know, I don't know if you remember, I remember somebody saying something about there was one that was rolling their eyes, you know, here you go again with a God thing. Did you get to see that portion? I really don't know if it was a gentleman that was speaking.
I didn't see them rolling their eyes. I saw the whole hearing. I didn't happen to notice that part, but it was an incredible experience to watch that and see how these people held their own, and to watch these Democrats attack them with such vengeance. It was just really interesting to watch that entire hearing. I watched it this morning as well.
Wow.
I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but the portion that I watched, I had to blog about because I was so annoyed. And what I got from what I saw was that both Congressman Lewis and Congressman McDermott's the one that's trying to blame the Tea Party for this happening. And McDermott and Lewis both, frankly, they admitted this is an ongoing, has been policy with the IRS. They've been doing it for a long time. These guys can march this back to 2003. They ask why we're not outraged in 2003. What are you talking about? You're the one with the power of oversight and the power of the purse, and you didn't give a crap. How am I supposed to give a crap?
Well, how are we supposed to know? How were we supposed to know?
Why weren't the liberal groups that you say were being attacked then, why weren't they screaming from the highest mountain? You know, so you already admitted that this isn't two rogue agents. This is an ongoing policy within the IRS, and the only thing that changes, evidently, is whose power gets, you know, who uses which power to abuse.
Right.
And I was so annoyed by that, and trying to make these groups out like, well, you deserve everything you get.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing they used to say to women who were raped. If you hadn't worn that skirt so short, you know, we saw this with the domestic abuse victims. Well, you know, if you hadn't gotten really irritated with him, he wouldn't have had to hit you. Really?
Mm.
2013, we still have these guys blaming these men.
Don, it's the Alinsky message. You know, again, it's marginalized, 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 and that's what they were doing. They were marginalizing the people and mocking them, and it was. But you know what? It backfired on them. It backfired on them. And I am so glad. I mean, even on Megyn Kelly yesterday when she had that McDermott on, it was, and he got so angry. You stop it, he says.
This is a man who is using his power, his time, push an agenda that had, you know, frankly, you're the one with the oversight, guys. You have let us all know, A, this is policy, and B, you guys don't care. You're not going to pay any more attention. And nobody's still talking about the fact that in 2013, by the way, this targeting is still occurring. Nobody's talking about that. They act like, oh, the two rogue agents. You know what? You know, these people that were standing up there testifying, I can only imagine the horror that must go through you to think, because these are not, you know, largely neophytes to what, I mean, they understand what the government looks like, right, and what they've been doing. So all I could think of was, you know, I don't know that I would have gone, first of all. I think I probably would have been cynical enough to shrug my shoulders and say it doesn't matter because they're not going to listen. But those that went, to be treated like, they're not acting like victims. They're acting like, hello, American citizens who are having their civil rights and the laws of this country used against them.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of the government being abused and them as the target. They weren't acting like victims, but to turn around on them and then act like you deserve it? Are you kidding me? Are you saying that to George Soros and MoveOn.org or Organizing for Action or Obama is the most fantastic thing in the world.org or whatever?
Wow.
That's absolutely true. And you notice that they did mention a few of those organizations and the inequality and the discrimination of what's going on. But it's not just the IRS. We're coming to find out. You know, in my extensive things, you know, on Agenda 21 and stuff, I spend a lot of time on EPA. Well, the EPA is targeting people. This administration is using every organization in that government, whether it's the IRS, the EPA, or whoever, to attack Americans that he considers his enemies.
Well, and you know what? This isn't the only administration to do that.
No, it is not. But again,
it isn't singular to these guys. What is singular to these guys, though, is you now have an awake electorate. You now have an electorate that doesn't fear speaking out. We've had whistleblowers on things in the past, but what they have done largely, somebody told me this just a couple of years ago, if you are the whistleblower, by the way, you're not going to get the parade down the street. You're not going to get everybody thinking you're fantastic. You will be vilified. You will be a pariah. They will go after you. And that's what every administration, including this one, who continues to do this, and somehow because we weren't aware of it happening before and nobody else was standing up left or right, somehow it's okay. This is exactly, isn't this the first lesson you teach your child? I don't care if Johnny does that and Johnny's mom lets him do that. You're not allowed to. If Johnny jumps off a cliff, are you going to follow him? That has been the motto of this administration since they're still saying it. Well, it was a Bush appointee. Really? Are you going to throw yourself on the floor and have a tantrum? This is the most infuriating part.
We can look to the what came out today, you know, with the administration now targeting Verizon customers, and we know it's not just Verizon. You know it's AT&T, Sprint, whoever else is out there. They didn't just single out Verizon people. And they're taking not just people they suspect of terrorism, but all Americans. All their information on their phones is now being turned over to this administration. They claim that they're just using the Patriot Act. The gentleman that Sensenbrenner that wrote the Patriot Act came out today and said absolutely not. They have gone way beyond what the Patriot Act allows. So tell me what this administration is up to. We already know we were data mined as citizens for the election, so we know how he got reelected. Now we understand all this. Now they're turning it on our children in Common Core. But now they're taking our phone records. They didn't build that data center in Utah for no reason. This administration has an agenda, and we know what the agenda is, which is, you know, to take over America and transform it into some ideological thing that, you know, whatever is in their brains, this New World Order stuff. But anyway, we come back to the fact that all of our rights are being stripped on steroids by this administration. Yes, we experienced it in other administrations, but probably the reason people never rose up, it was never to this extent. You didn't have the EPA coming down your throat because you had a puddle of water on your property, and now it's a wetland. I mean, this is insanity, what is going on. People can't even comprehend. Why do you think people are so scared? Because they see and feel something is radically wrong. And that didn't occur until this administration took over.
Well, and admittedly, you know, as I said, these are the guys that have accelerated the plan. Unfortunately, the arrogance and audacity of those in charge, they thought that they were just going to slide this past everybody. It's sort of like, you know, I picture this guy in the wheelhouse spinning that wheel as quickly as possible because they have to try to get as much done as all of this stuff becomes exposed. I wanted to alert you guys to a new issue, though, having to do with Common Core, since we know we're all fighting this. So just came across this email just as I was getting on today. So we know that Senator Grassley had actually written a resolution that he had some wording he wanted implemented into the budget or the appropriations bill coming out of the Senate, and that was to get rid of any federal funding dealing with Common Core. And, you know, the big question at that point then is, okay, so what is the House going to do? Well, I can now tell you what the House is going to do. They just introduced a bill today, and fortunately, we're catching it as it's happening so we can fight it. But it's called the Student Success Act. And at first, you know, I'm thinking, oh, okay, I know if I start to read something and it sounds good, there's going to be a problem. Uh-huh. So this is their idea of reforming No Child Left Behind. Okay, first of all, we don't want a reformation of No Child Left Behind. We want it gone. This flat out says that the academic standards, it says C similar to current law, the bill requires states to establish academic standards that apply to all students in schools in the state in at least reading and math, while allowing states to develop standards in other subjects at their discretion. So I'm not an idiot. I read this as current law. By the way, it's not the current law, Common Core, which is where the first problem is. This is saying, okay, you know what, if we're going to have a battle about Common Core, we're going to at least keep it in reading and math, but you guys can do whatever you want with everything else. And we know that's not the plan, and we know if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. The great thing about all this quote-unquote scandals, all of this abuse of power, I hate using euphemisms. Quit calling it a scandal. We didn't catch somebody with their pants down. This is an abuse of power, period. An abuse of the law. These are criminal acts if you and I were doing it. So we already know the fact that they are on this fast train to Common Core, there's no way they're going to backpedal, and there's no way they're going to say, oh, no, we're just going to take reading and math. And it's so disingenuous to keep saying the current law. It is not the current law. And maybe somebody should let, I've been telling you guys, Klein has been giving me a bad feeling for a long time. Congressman Klein heads up the Education and Workforce Committee in the House. And frankly, I don't see him. I was told a couple of years ago, this is the guy that's going to help us. I don't see him that way. I see him as a guy that is on the side of corporate greed and bad liberal ideology. So this thing just came out. It's going to start to go into markup on the 19th of June. I'm going to send this out to everybody. We need to fight it. We need to make sure everybody on that committee, the Education and Workforce Committee, understands, and all our representatives, what Common Core is, what it plans on doing, what it is already doing. And the fact that they call this, because they are referring to the No Child Left Behind law, we're not even dealing with that. If that were all we had to deal with, wouldn't that be fabulous? As far as I've read it, it doesn't do anything to Race to the Top or Common Core. So just letting you guys know that just came in. So that's the good news, is it just literally hit, so we have time. But just
well, I'm looking at it, and I'm looking when I see this flexibility in there, it just worries me. Is it providing states and school districts greater flexibility to meet students' unique needs, funding flexibility consistent with H.R. 2445, the State and Local Funding Flexibility Act. The bill allows states and school districts to use funds for certain special population programs for any activity authorized under any of the other programs. This allows state and local officials to use federal funds to meet their own unique needs.
This is the thing, Diana. We were talking a while ago. You called me when Alabama started saying things about, oh, no, no, you have local control. The same day we had the governor here in California, Governor Moonbeam, saying local control. So we both understood that that meant something other than local control. Finally figured it out here thanks to some great reporting that's happening now. So here's the thing. They want to give the money. We had said this, that it becomes much harder to fight this if it's being implemented district by district, because in a lot of districts, they're not even aware it's happening. And it's this slow, you know, decline into this where it's going to be already enforced in places where parents aren't even aware it's happening. So, you know, there are a lot more tentacles to this, trying to fight it district by district. But so here's the thing. So they want to give the money to the district. The district gets to decide where you spend the money on education. Well, we already know the most expensive program currently in the United States is the Common Core Standards. And so what's happening and going to happen in California anyway, and I'm sure this is true everywhere, is that the programs that are considered, this is what they call them in California, categoricals. Now, those are the GATE program. Those are the programs that are set up, say, to mainstream your kid with mental or physical challenges into a mainstreamed classroom. Special ed, you know, programs for gifted kids and talented kids. those are all categoricals, meaning they're not the straight on, you know, here's the toolkit for K through 12 education. Those are the people who are going to lose out. And now trying to explain this to these folks, they're completely in denial that it's happening, even though we can show them in black and white it is.
Wow. Well, let me read a little bit more, too, because, well, thank God we've got the call tonight, Dawn, Ms. Christina, because we, you know, this is something that we can also mention
to
the person that's coming in. But it says here, this allows state and local officials to use federal funds to meet their own unique needs. While school districts will not be allowed to use funds received for Title I schools outside of those schools, they can move additional funding to low-income schools. The bill maintains separate funding streams for the migrant education, neglected and delinquent English language acquisition, and Indian education programs, but merges them into Title I. And it's got school-wide programs. The bill eliminates the 40% poverty threshold for school-wide programs, allowing all Title I schools to operate whole school reform efforts. This change, including the Obama administration's waiver package, will allow low-income schools greater flexibility to consolidate programs and focus their efforts on raising the achievement of all students.
That's the other part, too. They don't care that schools will fail, because guess what? If your school fails in a rural or poverty-ridden area, oh, but we have this great alternative. It's called the charter school. Oh, look, our buddies who are running it are happy to give you that choice. That's why you don't see nearly the fight that we used to about school choice or vouchers, because they're setting up the system for that as well. They don't care that your kid, whether or not your kid ever gets educated.
Well, thank God you brought that up, Dawn. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Christina.
Well, yeah, that's something that we need to know. It's good that it came across the wires today, because we can deal with it. Another thing that came across the wires today that I wanted to share was the Obama administration announced today in a Twitter chat that it has decided to expand the public education from K-12 to include early childhood services. He's ready to reward states that meet the quality benchmarks. Well, we know, you know. Like state-level standards for early training, qualified teachers' union for all preschool classrooms, and, of course, a plan to implement comprehensive data and assessment systems. This is going, their goal, per Arnie Duncan, our goal is to partner with states to increase learning opportunities for children from birth to age 5 years old. So here it starts, and this is they put this out in Twitter.
That reminds me, Donna, would you mind tweeting? I know every time you do that, and I don't know how to do it well yet, we get a lot more in new listeners. So if you don't mind, tweet every day our show, because I've noticed when you do tweet it, it's great. But we do have some breaking news coming on. I got something from Crystal Swayze, and she's knows of a lady, Cindy Hill, superintendent of Wyoming. She's fighting for local control and got stripped of her power because of it. So we're hoping to get a call before 2:30. I've extended the show a little bit longer so that hopefully she can tell us this news, which I knew we were going to have a good conversation anyway because of all these things that's going on, but hopefully she'll be able to come on. I did talk to her, and she wants to inform the public of what's going on. So I thank God for these people that are starting to stand up, and I think we're going to see more of them, kind of like, I just really think there's a momentum. We've got the Benghazi gate. People are so fed up. When they see what their our military is sacrificing for us, and for them to have been treated in such a horrendous manner by the man who is the leader in chief, oh my goodness! And then we see the IRS gate where hardworking Americans are being put through the ringer, and really it looks like trying to put a gag order
Aren't we hearing more of that? We're hearing that with even school boards now. They've got to have a gag order on them not to be able to tell anything that is against what was passed. And I'm thinking, this is a free country. How in the world we can let them do this? I guess that's what happens when people don't know.
That is what happens when you have an uneducated electorate, isn't it?
Indeed.
No, absolutely. And I think everything happens for a reason. And, you know, even if some of this stuff, which was happening 4 years ago, we just wasn't happening quite at this pace. You know, it's I've always said this about Obama, that really without him, we wouldn't understand the things that have been going on. And if they've been, we admit they've been going on a long time. We just weren't aware of it because, oh, I'm sorry, we were being productive. And so now everything that you've had to see before now.
Well, it wasn't so in our face either as it is now. Right now it's in our face. Every day it's in our face. I mean, now they send out a Twitter bomb, and they want you to retweet back if you agree that, you know, now they need, the government needs to take over your babies. I mean, this is in our face. Every day something.
I want them to take care of the child I'm just thinking about having.
Yes.
Oh.
So we've really got to wake up to what is happening in our country, because we are on the verge of losing it.
Well, Donna Gill, I'm going to share the website for CURE, and also I am going to be posting on our CURE. I know that Alice Linehan has got it posted on Voices and Power, the resolution. I also did last night. I went ahead. I'm a little bit behind. Sorry, guys, but I finally posted it on our website, and I'm going to send it to everybody because, Ms. Christina, I think we need everybody praying for this resolution to be adopted to educate the body of Christ, because, again, that is, I mean, God says that my people perish for lack of knowledge, but, you know, when you even look at that scripture, Ms. Christina Dawn, it just really hits me. The other part of that scripture that gets neglected, which is, I'm going to read it right now. I've got it on our website, SB 2013 Resolution to Fight Common State Standards with Truth to Set a Nation Free is what I titled the blog. And but I've got in here the scripture about Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And I'm thinking, what an admonition for us. And it's so timely, Ms. Christina, that you drafted and we've got it sent off, this resolution to really, you know, ask our pastors.
I was thinking the same thing, Diana, when you were reading that scripture. It seems like almost every scripture the Lord takes us to these days relates back to that letter and to the call to the pastors.
Oh, indeed. And Donna, if you don't mind, share what we're doing with CURE and the website.
The website is www.natcure.org. And what we're trying to do is bring in parents and teachers and administrators who are confused about what Common Core is, to educate those that aren't really aware of what it is, and to really provide resources for each other to help in the fight against this. We have some states that have been, you know, fairly successful in their fight against Common Core. And so we want to help the states that aren't quite there understand what it was, what it took for the states that did win, what it took them to win. So, you know, we're trying to rely on the only thing I think that we can truly rely on anymore, which is each other, and have an understanding that we are the thing that will make the difference. It's not going to be some big organization. It's not going to be the DOE. It's not going to be the president. It's not even going to be Congress, frankly. The thing that will make the difference is all of us that care about kids and the future of this country you know, putting our hearts and minds and souls together and working to find a way to combat this and alternatives for parents that don't even want to have to deal with it. So, you know, we're bringing all those resources together, people who are very experienced and knowledgeable in this, people who have written books about it, people who have been fighting it for a long time, teachers who've done, you know, the fight within their administrations. And so it's, you know, I think we have this great coalescing of people who are all collaborating to win against this onslaught of evil that's pervading now the classroom.
And, too, I think, Dongyin, I'm just thinking about what is it, the Committee of Correspondence, I think is what Ms. Barbara called it, you know, the founding of this nation where, you know, these founding fathers, they would meet together and they would talk, you know. And I think, you know, what was really wonderful was they knew where their true help came from. And there were pastors present. And I think that's what I love about our, you know, our group is, you know, we know we must have God in the conversation. We know that we have need of Him. I mean, for us to really deal with this just on a physical level with a legislature, it sounds all good. You can have a lot of ideas, but we've seen ideas before, and a lot of times they amount to nothing unless the Lord be with us.
You know, that going back to how we started the show with, you know, what do we see, how the power of God that we see on this project that we're doing, this National Coalition Against Common Core, everyone that the Lord has brought into this coalition from all these states all over, everyone is a believer. It's like God, to me, again, I keep saying this, is bringing His army of believers together for this final push. And I feel so blessed to, you know, have met all these people that have come on board. We pray together. It's beautiful. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, I think it's going back to the basics,
yes.
I think. So, and Dawn, you've experienced this. You said you've been on other, you know, gatherings for good, you know, political organizations, but I really think that this is a track that is so necessary to have, because it's almost like, Ms. Christina Don, it's like the nation has forgotten the roots, and it was not them that really won the war against Great Britain and the tyranny. And that's who, you know, go ahead, Don.
I was just going to say, well, remember, we've forgotten, it's not even that we've forgotten this slow pervading incursion into classrooms everywhere that's been going on for 100 years has slowly been changing the history. And so, you know, even if kids are taught history, and generally very minimal these days, they're not taught about the history of this country, and they're not taught history correctly to what factually happened. We've wrapped so much stuff up in myth that we end up realizing later that, you know, what we actually got was wrong. You know, what we know of history, what was taught to us was wrong. And you're lucky now if it's even taught. The fact that the federal government has a law that one day a year, every federally funded school has to talk about the Constitution, if that doesn't scream at us what has happened, I don't know what else would. Kind of, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but don't you assume that's happening in classrooms every day anyway? But it's not.
It's not, no. No, we know it's not. I'll tell you what's happening.
One of the worst parts, too, is that people aren't taught world history. And so they don't know about how all of this happens, it's happened before. Everything we're experiencing now has been experienced before.
But
this is
Why, Don, are they not taught personal history? I mean, history. Why are they not taught it?
Because then you will know this has happened before. And by the way, the end of that movie always ends badly for the people. So
We have allowed it to be taken out of the textbooks and instead replaced with homosexuality and all that goes along with that and ungodliness and Allah and everything else.
but what's supposed to be in those textbooks. And now what is in those history books talks about our founders being treasonous. So we're the ones that have to see to it that things start changing.
Well, but here's my big thing, too, because we're not taught world history. I think even there are some parents, young parents out there, don't get it. So I put up a little quiz on the front page of our website. It's just 5 questions. Go take the quiz. Because it's just basically asking you, 5 questions about what you think, which country sort of promotes whatever in education. And the whole point of it is to show that how people normally think of education, if you told them about some of the things that were happening now with this pushing of Common Core, and you never said it was happening here, if you said it was happening in Russia or China or North Korea, people would look at you and be, yeah, well, of course it is, because that's exactly what these people do, and blah, blah, blah. You say it's happening here, they don't believe you. And so, it's one of the reasons, too, we have to erase history, because if you start recognizing this for what it is, which is, complete socialism and communism, not new things, not new theories, not new implementations in a society. It's happened before. It always ends very badly for the people, but that's why, they don't want you to really know about it. If you start seeing the same correlation between the two, then it becomes truly frightening. And the further we get away from the Cold War, the worse it's going to be, because then we have, whole generations of people that don't understand whatever happened or why wars took place, pre-Gulf Storm, Desert Storm.
If we forget our history, and I love the little insights, like the insight about Patton that I did not know. here's this man that mimeographed all these prayers. And it's just, children need to hear that. And I'm thinking, wow, that was powerful. But then also another insight that, I gleaned was from the show was listening to Professor Jim Milgram in an interview. I think he was on last week. He was on a National Validation Committee, the only math academic expert. Can we really say this is about academics when you only have one and then you don't listen to him when he asks questions, you ignore him. And, but one of the things that was powerful to me, Ms. Christina Dawn, was when he said that same thing, which, he was the only academic expert on there, the math academic expert on this, trying to find the best way to teach math. And on top of that, there were other people there, one of which was, I don't know if he said psychologists in plural, but that just tells me that, again, this is really about changing the mindset of children. This is really not about academic standards and making them better students. This is really about changing America, and it's so important that you have a psychologist. And, of course, when we saw the clinical mental therapist talk about exactly what this is going to do for our children, it's going to raise a generation that is so easily triggered, like the Arab Spring, I say, parents, when you get that point, you'd better study about Common Core. It is after your child's mind.
Yes.
Well, and it's even worse than that. I mean, it's not even just a changing of their mind. It's the building of it from the get-go. So imagine your child that is being born today. By the time they reach pre-K, which the government thinks we should all have our child in, they're going to start from pre-K on up with this, incursion into the mind of a child, all of this socialism propaganda. And so there won't have to be a change because they'll all just be brought up that way. The more they spend time at school, which will take over the community rather than your home or a church, the more that they are giving to the parents, and especially those that are really vulnerable, that are living in areas that are rural or poverty-ridden, where you have maybe one parent that is running the household who also has to work, who's just thrilled to death that, by the way, that not only will they feed your kid breakfast and lunch now during the school year, but guess what? We're going to feed your kid all summer long when school isn't even in session. And then we're going to do where your kid can pretty much stay here after school so whenever you can come pick them up. And you know what? You have to go to work early, no problem. Drop them off here. Well, by the end of all this, your kid already spends more time at school now than they do with you anyway. And who do you think they're listening to? You know, I think parents need to really wake up and understand, just take one look at one day in your life and how much time you actually spend with your child and asking them about what are they learning? Not just throwing a textbook at you. What is your teacher saying? What are you learning? How are you learning? What do you think of your teacher? I know it's not like I'm blaming the parents. I understand a very busy, you know, working parents' lives. I get it. Been there, done that. But I think, you know, we have allowed so many other things to take over our role as parents, thinking that it will ease the role that we play as parents. In reality, it is so harmful to our kids and, frankly, to us. You know, our kids are not going to be, we are already looking at a generation that will not do better than its parents. You know, we have a system that says in healthcare, yeah, you can stay on your parents' healthcare policy till you're 26. Why is that? Because you're still living at home. Because you have a college degree that you can't find a job in the field that you've studied. You know, it's every part of the policies are written in to help this whole great utopia. And frankly, guys, they don't even call it utopia because they don't care about utopia. That's not what it's about.
Oh, indeed. The ultimate control of a nation through the educational system and the minds of the children of that nation.
Yeah, go look and see what goal. China does.
That is the goal. If we would understand what the goal is, they don't care. We keep thinking, well, they don't care about this. They don't care about. No, they have an agenda.
Most people aren't going to get that, though. They're going to look at the really micro part of this. But frankly, you know, go look at what happened under Mao in China. Go look and see what happened under, you know, Stalin in Russia.
Yeah. And Hitler, anybody.
Hitler.
All of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if all these bad things happened in these countries and education was off limits. Are you kidding? It was one of the first places they went to.
It was the first. Because
and frankly, the more astonishing thing that most Americans don't know, because they don't know U.S. history, is that a lot of what Hitler and his propaganda machine and his policy guys learned, they actually learned from the progressives in this country.
Exactly.
They learned about eugenics from this country. So, I mean, these were already policies where people were doing, people don't remember there was a time that if your child was mentally ill or had some sort of mental or physical challenge, they went off to a sanatorium, and one of the first things they did was sterilize them because, oh, my gosh, this is already a defective human being. We can't have them producing more of them. And they were throwaways. That's what people did. You didn't want to talk about it. And I keep using, instead of Ben Carson as the example, of, you know, if Common Core were around 30, 40 years ago, you know, people say, what would have happened to Ben Carson? What would have happened to Temple Grandin? I know for most people that name doesn't ring a bell, but it should. She is autistic. She has a PhD. She is one of the leaders in animal behavior. She has helped invent things for, like, the cattle industry that have given them the ability to, in producing meat for us, to treat animals more humanely and with less pain and such. So here's a person who's a leading person in their industry, but frankly, under Common Core, as a child, she would have been a throwaway. She never would have reached those heights. And we have thousands of examples of people like that.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And under this system, by 8 or 9 years old, they're going to be placed in a workforce program. So these people will not have a chance to become something special that they became.
Well, I just want people to look at the hypocrisy. If all you want to do is look at the hypocrisy because you don't want to believe in a UN agenda, you don't want to believe in that, you don't, yeah, you know, it's a black helicopters conspiracy. Just do me this one favor. Look at the hypocrisy of the STEM program. So the STEM program, I have friends that work for organizations that are part of the STEM program, especially those that do government contracting. And so STEM is the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. These are the four industries we really want to create innovation and talented people into. And then you look at Common Core, which they want to implement through the whole country, and you talk to somebody like Professor Milgram, who says, who is a math expert, who is the only math expert that reviewed Common Core, thought it was bad, and he will tell you, by the seventh grade, your child is already 2 years behind in math compared to international standards.
Right.
Those that wrote Common Core can no longer claim it as an international standard because guess what? International standards are better. And frankly, most states, including my state of California, Indiana, had some of the best standards for education than other states. So instead of maybe trying to bring up a state to an example of a state that has higher standards, we're just going to make sure everybody gets the same drivel. They're uneducated. So how do we move those kids into the STEM workforce? Well, we know we're not going to. That's why the new immigration bill calls to give very sweet, sweet, sweet promises to those that are educated outside of the United States but come here for graduate training. We're going to do everything we can to keep them here because we know we won't have a workforce that will allow that. So it's in more than it's in these rippling policies throughout the administration that you can see where their whole plan is. It's not a one thing, you know, oh, it's about education. It's not. It's about a society. It's about this society. It's about an American society that is changing dramatically, drastically under our noses, and unless you fight, you know, you will have to succumb to it. And frankly, if you're not going to fight, I don't even know why you're still here. Because if you want it to look like France, why don't you just move there? If you want the United States to look to Greece, why don't you just move there? Oh, you can't, because if you emigrate to those countries, they expect you to show financial proof. You have to have a bank account that proves that you can support yourself while you're there. Oh, and guess what? The other thing, including Mexico, they want you to show that you have the ability to provide health care for yourself, because they're not going to give it to you. Oh, and don't even think about getting on welfare, because they have a whole system, so does the United States, it never uses it, to make sure that you cannot claim benefits from the government if you are not a citizen of that government. That's why you don't move.
Hmm. And we've opened our doors wide, but hopefully we have a chance. It was good to see that press, that little back and forth. It was good to see Yalta's friend Karen and Becky being heard really by the country. That was really different, Ms. Christina. I don't think I've ever seen a hearing like that before where we the people got to actually tell them what we think in such a way.
I thought it was incredible, and I thought those people did an incredible job. We also had John Eastman from California who was part of that panel.
And, can you tell what he said? I didn't see him.
He was in defense of merit.
Constitutional attorney.
Yes.
Who teaches at Chapman University, professor at Chapman University here in California.
Well, his organization, the Defense of Merit, he was one of the attorneys on the Prop 8. And so, you know, they have been vilified and eviscerated from the government since day one, since incredibly just getting it to the ballot. But over 62% of Californians spoke, and it never has reached a law in California because it's been tied up in court ever since.
Well, his donor list was released to And we know it was probably one of Soros's, you know, organizations. So, again, here we go with the Obama, Soros, that marriage. Eastman's donor list was given out. So he's talking felony. And I loved it when he sat up there and he said felony.
Yep.
I mean, our people got to address their grievances to the government, which is exactly what the Constitution calls for.
Those congressmen who, I hope the places where the congressmen, especially Lewis and McDermott, their constituents understand that this may not be you this time. If those Congress people stay, what happens to you next time? What happens when there's a power shift? Guess what? You're the next target. Because, you know, this is all about the citizens versus their government.
I hope that some of these people in these districts, like McDermott, these people wake up, that they take a good, hard look at their congressmen, because they could think this could be us. And it was us. Maybe they're a Verizon holder. Maybe they're, you know, I mean, our government is, as your gal from Alabama said, you have forgotten your place. They have forgotten their place, and they're power hungry. So if these people in these districts think it's not going to happen to them, they've got another thing coming, and they better think long and hard about sending these people back to D.C.
Well, and if it's not this, it'll be something else. As they keep going back to drawing the line to Obamacare, it really does chill you to the bone, doesn't it, to think that these are the same people who are going to be, quote-unquote, administering Obamacare. And you got to wonder, will my mother get the same kind of treatment because she votes Republican?
That's exactly right.
Will my father get the test he needs because he's an independent?
That's what they're talking about, is the fact that the IRS is now going to be in charge of Obamacare and implementing whether we live or die based on our political affiliations or who we are or we believe in God.
Well, Ms. Christina, let me ask y'all something, because I did see a little bit of, Charles Krauthammer last night talking about, you know, the problem with the child. Thank God that mercy was shown to her by a judge, and now she's going to be placed on that list where she has a chance, where before it's like red tape says no.
Right.
And I'm thinking, and you know, Krauthammer, you know, presents in a thing where I don't know if he heard that it was already said that this child, you know, her chances of being able to retain, that her body can take in the lung or whatever that was needed, that her chances are very good.
Yes.
Compared to, you know, I guess before it's like, you know, I don't know if he missed that. Because it's almost like when he was talking, well, you have to consider that, you know, there is somebody else who could have had that body part, and probably that their body would have been able to, you know, really use it versus that child. So I guess he might not have heard that, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, how far we have come.
Yes.
How far we have come, even with his line of thinking. Who are we to play God, in a way, is what I'm thinking. It sounds so strange, even hearing him. And I know what he's trying to say, but for us to even think that way is so strange to me.
Yes. You know, that situation was a little tough. The only thing that upset me was Sebelius's cold. I mean, she just felt like she had ice through her veins when she was, you know, talking about this whole situation. It is a tough situation. And the child versus the other person that was on the list, I don't know. But my question is, why is the government involved, period? I just don't see where the government has a place in this. This should be between the hospitals and the doctors and the families and so on. It shouldn't have government. This is our problem, too much government.
Well, we had David Axelrod who said it best. How do you expect the president to know what's happening with all things in government. It's just too big.
Yeah, well, there you go. It is too big, and it needs to be shrunk. Just like Ted Cruz now, you know, he's trying to initiate something to, you know, abolish the IRS. It's time. There is an organization that's completely out of control. And we're going to create more and hire more, 16,000 more of these crooks, of these political...
Wow.
They're just political.
I mean, Christina, I heard at the beginning of one of our first meetings, Don, you brought in someone who said we need to also abolish the Department of Ed. So there's two right there.
Department of EPA, that needs to be abolished. That is one of the most egregious organizations that we have. That is truly damaging Americans. Private property rights, everything, all in the name of sustainability. And all in the name of his agenda, this green agenda.
We could really save a lot of money, couldn't we?
Oh, my goodness. We could just lop those three right off the top. The Department of Government in our Constitution had no authority in education. And look at where we are today. You talk about how far we've come. They had nothing to do with health care. Look at how far we've come. They're gradually taking over every facet of our society, our banks, our energy. I read the other day about their taking over the rights to water. You know, all of these situations are happening right under our noses, and people just go about their business, you know, going, oh, I'm going to play golf today, I have my bridge club today, I have a luncheon today. Well, you're not going to have anything pretty soon if you don't wake up to what's going on in this country. God is allowing us to see what this government is up to. It's up to us what we're going to do with it. He's exposing. He's allowing all of this corruption to be exposed, to come to the forefront, for the light to shine on it. Are we going to be the light and shine?
And, too, I just think, too, teachers, you know, when they think of us getting rid of the Department of Education, some of them think, well, that means I'm going to lose my job. I think, you know, they need to realize, if anything, it might give them the raise that they deserve. If anything, it might give them money where they're not actually having to buy the children's supplies or the school supplies that they're doing now. So we have to educate teachers, and it's just really amazing. And I don't guess Miss Cindy's going to be able to join us after all. I caught her, and she was really out to lunch, but she was going to try to join us. But that is really, I hope she can get on the call with us sometime and the conference on Thursday nights, because when you see a superintendent who's being stripped of her power to stand up for what's right, wow, that is incredible news.
Well, we need to get in touch with her, for sure.
Well, I am just, yeah, I'm grateful. That was something from Crystal, so.
Yeah. We need to talk to her, you know, and show her support, because it's the teachers' unions that are really the impetus behind the teachers being afraid. These unions are so powerful, as we know. And now he's turning it over to the teachers' unions birth to five teachers' unions. Well, this is, again, this is part of the problem, is the teachers' unions. Because we talk about, I just read in Colorado, they're rationing the crayons by law that a teacher can give a child. Now, what is that? We're rationing crayons that a teacher can give a student in a class? And this
Wow.
is in Colorado. They're making 97 new laws for the school. And one of them is that. One of them is they can't have whole milk. They can't do this. They can't do that. I mean, it's just incredible what is happening. And even the states are out of control as far as all the laws.
Well, Ms. Christina, I think Don, are you still on? You were saying something about a tweet by Martha Roby's office.
Yes, Martha Roby actually sent a tweet out about H.R. 5, so obviously she knows about it, which is good, and she's trying to get other people to know about it, which is even better. So And she's not fooled by this, oh, we're just going to reform, no child left behind.
No, it's not.
It's like they were going to reform, they were going to reform the Patriot Act.
Right. And all this Common Core is those things. They change the name, whether it's Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, Head Start, whatever. It's all the same thing. It's just a new name. And we already Start was such a failure, such a mass failure. And now we're going to pile on to that failure and add more failure with Common Core.
Well, we're not going to do it. I love what somebody says, not on my watch. And so we're going to try to wake up the country and be ask people to really go and look at that resolution and tell their pastors about it. Because, Christina, you did a fine job of really outlining what is going on. So if you're new and you really want to understand, you know, you'll have to probably, like me, you'll have to read it more than once. It was easy for me to read the first time, but I want to really understand because you really pointed out the history of this mess that we're in, Ms. Christina, and we cannot really afford to not know because the other side is hoping we don't know. Side is hoping that, you know, we're not educated.
And that's posted, I believe, Dawn. Isn't it posted on our website now that people can go to the website and download that letter to read?
Yes.
It's
under information and links, and they can find it there where they can print it out for themselves or read it right there, whatever they want to do.
And that's at our website, which is www.natcure.org.
Correct.
And you're already getting feedback, Ms. Christina, so I'm really excited,
We're getting incredible feedback. I don't know what's going to happen with the pastors. That remains to be seen next week. I just keep remembering that the Lord brings that word that he gave me over and over in Ezekiel 34 back to my mind all the time when I think about this letter. So, you know, they have the ball in their court, and just as you were talking, reading Hosea there, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
It's time to have up or down vote, isn't it?
Pardon me?
It's time to have that up or down vote.
Time to decide what world you're going to walk in. Is it going to be God's world or is it going to be this world? Take your choice because you can't walk in both worlds. God says you can't serve, you know, God and mammon. So it's time to make a choice. It's time to make and stand in the gap.
I thought about doing a bookmark. I think I heard somebody else that, which bookmark is a good way, you know, there's a lot of people that read. And I'm thinking I'd like to put that scripture, that Hosea on one side, on the other side, I'm going to put the website for Cure and where they can also look at that resolution because that is just really powerful. And we're going to ask them to be in prayer over that God's will may be done. And I believe he is so good. He's really waiting on our prayers. That's what's just so amazing to me. It just, you know, like a child, it's just, I love to watch Chair Wings, which is the little kids video for kids. And Chair, I just got a message from Miss Cindy Hill. She's in a very important meeting, and I see who she's with, so I can understand why she can't call in after all. So it seems to be a big deal. Well, it needs to be a big deal in Wyoming and throughout the country. This is major news for the superintendent to be stripped of her power. But as I was thinking about Cherub Wings, one of the things that I love that it shows, and it's just amazing to me because I think kids of all ages and even adults can watch the series. It was put on by TBN. It's a cartoon about two little angels and what they do. They help little children know what's right and wrong. But there's a story about a little girl who has this chore of trying to put this big box of something in the trash can. And she's tried everything. She's tugged, she's pulled, and she can't lift it. She can't move it. She can't put it in there.
And so she's laying on the ground in the grass, just looking up at the sky, and her father comes by, and he asks, what are you doing? She says, well, I'm thinking. And she tells him the story of how she's got this chore, and she's got to put this thing in the trash. You know, it's so big, and she's tugged, and she's pulled, she's done everything. And then he looks at her, and he asks her, have you really done everything? And she says, well, I think I've done everything. And she says, and he says, well, I don't think you've done everything. You haven't asked me. And then she looks at him, and she looks at how big he is, how strong he is, and she says, yeah, I haven't asked my father to help me. And it's a cute story, but big implications in that, you know, we haven't given it to God.
We haven't.
And so I'm asking every parent that's out there that's listening to us, you may be overwhelmed, underwhelmed, I don't know. And even with Miss Cindy Hill's story, you know, that's a big deal, a big deal. So I'm going to ask Miss Christina, if you don't mind, let's just give it to that big Heavenly Father. I think that's what he's wanting. He's wanting the parents. He's wanting all of us to give it to him. So if you don't mind, Ms. Christina, would you close us in prayer?
Certainly. Be happy to. Lord, we just come before you. We've talked about the issues. We placed them before the listeners in the audience. And Lord, we just ask that the call that you're making to the people, that they hear it, Lord, that they hear it, that their ears open to hear it, that their eyes open to see what's going on, Lord, and realize that we all have to turn back to you, Lord. We have to humble ourselves and turn back to you, Lord, and realize that you are first in all things, not to seek, you know, changes coming from legislatures or this person or that person, not to look to man, Lord, but to look to you first. You know, there's so much power in prayer. And as we continue to go forth with this coalition that you're so blessing and putting your hand to, Lord, we just thank you that we're realizing each day that you're showing us as we pray that the power you're putting forth on our behalf because of our prayers, Lord, let that power extend out to all those that are listening, Lord. Let them feel your presence and let them get on their knees and start praying for their children and their homes and returning their hearts to you, Lord, and seeking you first for their calling on their lives, what they should be doing and how they should be raising their children. Lord, we ask that the pastors that receive this resolution, again, Lord, we lift them up to you, that this resolution reaches deep into their spirit, Lord, and that you show them that this is your calling, Lord, for them to return to you and to do as you called them to do. As you said in Hosea, you have told them, you have called them, Lord. It's time they stood up and listened and did as you asked and feed the sheep and stand in the gap and protect these children. Lord, we need them to stand in this battle. And Lord, we just pray that you give them the courage and the wisdom to know that they have to stand. It's time to make their choice. And Lord, we just pray, we lift up all the parents and the children to you, Lord. Help us, guide us, give us your wisdom and your knowledge, Lord, that how to reach these parents and these children and these teachers, Lord, as to what is coming their way. That they need you, Lord, more now than ever, ever in our lives. We must return this country to the founding, to the basics, to you, Lord, that it was created on. So, Lord, we just thank you as we go forth for your blessings and protection upon each and every one. And, Lord, we just thank you as eyes open to see and ears open to hear, that the veil of ignorance and darkness be lifted and the light start shining, Lord, into this darkness, because darkness cannot stand in light. And Lord, we just thank you that the darkness will flee because the light will be so strong. Lord, we just thank you for the blessings of all that you're doing, and to you be the honor and the glory in all things. In your precious name, Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Ms. Christina. Oh,
we fight in the spiritual as well as in the physical. And how good of God, Ms. Christina, to really give us the weapons, right? Mm-hmm. Not just spiritually, but physically, because now we have this, conference coming up, and I'm just really thankful to God that we have avenues to fight the good fight.
That He's opened doors.
Yes, and with Becky Garrison and now the Cindy Hill, the issue of Common Core is really going to go in the forefront of the country, as well it should. Even though the news media doesn't want it, it can't help it, because really parents will put it there. There is now an undercurrent where parents can find out the truth. It's all over Facebook. Ms. Christina, I'm just really amazed at what I see on Facebook.
Yes,
it's
me
all
too.
About Common Core. I see Benghazi, too, in there. I mean, and now the IRS gate. But there is a ton of information on Common Core. So no matter what the news want to do with it, they're really old news. It's what I'm finding. You know, if you want old news, you watch the news, because really Facebook and all these social media that parents are involved with, they're pushing the news. They're the ones that's really got the the latest info.
Right, right. And that's what we pray is that as they wake up, that this just grows and expands, because yes, they've got the mainstream media, but we've got God. We just have to keep reminding ourselves of that, and He opens the doors for us to walk through, that He knows that we will accomplish what He wants us to accomplish, and He gives us these tasks each day. It's incredible what is happening on a daily basis and how powerful God is moving in this movement against Common Core. Because
it is indeed.
Yes, it is His children. And when I read the stuff like I read this morning about now they're tweeting out, we want your babies, we want them from birth. Oh, dear God, we've got to protect these children. We have to do our, we're going to stand before the Lord and be accountable for what we did. And all the people listening, you're accountable to God for what you're doing or not doing. So get on your knees and seek God as to what you should be doing. What is the right thing to do? Not what you're told to do. What is the right thing to do?
And I really hope that if they are Twitter, people that do Twitter, that they go and find Nat Cure on Twitter and follow Nat Cure, because
it's at Cure Nat. Twitter is at Cure Nat.
Yeah, because I think, you and Dawn are putting out some very pertinent information, and I'm going to try to get up to study how to do that, and I'm fixing to do that. I'm going to tweet some, and I hope you listeners, you will, share on Twitter what this website is, so that other people can get informed, because it's going to take a lot of people informed, but with God's help, we can get
all
it done.
All things are possible. All things are possible.
Yes, and this is a good cause. I like it when David asked, is there not a cause? Well, there is a cause here, and it's worth it all. Whatever we think we're doing that's important, we need to take time to do this for our children's sake. So thank you, Ms. Christina.
Thank you, honey.
I will talk to you this evening. God bless you, and listeners, may God bless you. May God shine His face upon you. Please share the podcast. We've got so many great ones. Finn Lawson of Christian Education Association International. He is shining the light of hope for teachers, educators that need an alternative to the union that they're in right now. And they are have proven themselves to be steadfast and will support the teachers no matter what. So go to CEAI, Christian Educators Association International. But go to our podcast at www.cityonahill.com. CityOnAHill.tv. God bless you. Goodbye.